What are the feelings and emotions that you get when you hear the phrase, "This is the new normal"? I saw some cringes. I cringe at that phrase. It reminds me of the daily sets of face masks, of expanding my personal bubble to over 6 or 7 feet, of trying to connect with colleagues and classmates via Zoom sessions, and of deciding which essential errands could be conducted quickly and safely. When someone tells you that this is the new normal, it rarely means that something great is about to happen. No, we aren't instituting a national afternoon siesta. No, we shouldn't expect universal spa days, complete with massage and pedicure. No, we have not instituted mandatory paid vacations. The new normal is rarely followed by a contented sigh and the phrase, "I could get used to this." Jeremiah was living in one of these times of a new normal. His time as a prophet began on the steps of the temple in Jerusalem. Then he, like all the people of that great city, witnessed the arrival of the Babylonians, who threatened to destroy everything that was sacred to them, their temple, their homes, their livelihoods, their very security. This was not news to them. Jeremiah had been warning the people and had counseled them to submit to the Babylonians or be destroyed. Life as exiles in Egypt was to be their new normal. It would be a big adjustment, and they would have to learn to live outside of their comfort zones for the foreseeable future. And yet, while their world felt out of control, while the people struggled to regain a sense of identity and meaning, Jeremiah reminded them that they always have a choice to make. No matter what our circumstances in life, we also have the power to choose. The consequences of our choices may change, and we may not have the power to choose exactly what we want, but there is always a choice. I used to remind my students of this when they would get angry about something that they were being, quote unquote, forced to do. In fact, my life lesson usually came after one of them popped off in class. That means they just go off. With the traditional teenage phrase, "You can't make me. You're not my mom." "You're right," I'd say. I also said something else about what would happen if I had been their mother, but we won't go into that. And I'd say, "I can't make you do anything. No one can. Your job is to decide what it's worth to you. What are you willing to risk to get what you want? Here are your choices." And then I would calmly lay out the situation, often about not doing their work or what would happen if they just stormed out of class without permission. Empowerment comes from knowing your options, discerning the logical consequences of each of those options, and then setting out on the path you choose and owning what comes next. Jeremiah put this same life lesson before the people of Israel. There were things outside of their control. They could not stop the Babylonians from coming. They could not keep their life, their way of life, intact. The hostile takeover was already underway. Life was already beginning to feel out of control. However, each person had the power to choose how they would respond in the face of chaos and destruction. I had the opportunity to witness this dilemma play out in a unique way last summer. I was working as a shepherd at Decatur Presbyterian Church's Bible and Music Camp, or BAM Camp for short. The shepherd's jobs were to lead a flock of children from one station to another throughout the day. There were outdoor games and indoor art music, reflection, drama, Bible stories, etc. However, one day, the weather drove the game station indoors. That day, unfortunately, involved a lot of running and shouting between teams. One of the children in our group, however, had been diagnosed with autism and struggled with loud noises and overstimulation. During the game, he removed his shoes and was running and sliding and falling in his socks. He also stopped playing the game at one point and just got faster and faster, knocking kids over as he ran back and forth across the room. The leaders and volunteers were all trying to catch him, first of all, and then get him to put his shoes back on, which was the rule. The more we tried, the more frustrated he became and the more anxious, until he finally began yelling and flailing around on the floor. I called a close friend of mine who also volunteered with BAM Camp. She's currently in her late 20s and also has autism. She came down to the room and told us to have him remove his socks instead of put on his shoes. She was able to calm him by giving him noise-canceling headphones and pressing his bare feet into the cold floor. She explained to me later that she still does this when she feels or has the need to feel grounded. When the world feels overwhelming and everything begins to spin out of control, she puts her bare feet on the cold, hard ground as a tangible way to root herself in reality. Her body is able to connect to the firm foundation underneath her. It stabilizes her like an anchor in a storm. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be planted by water, sending out their roots by the stream. No matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we always have a choice. When chaos comes, I can run around seeking a place to blame the right parties. I can complain, hoping things will change. I can allow myself to be swept away in wishing things were different. Or I can choose to root myself more deeply in the Lord. I can shift my focus from the transient things of this world to the eternal things of God. I can drown out the noise by carving out time to simply be still and know that God is God. I can take off my shoes and place my feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our only true foundation. Jesus tells us in Luke that those who are poor are blessed because the kingdom of God belongs to them. He says that those who are hungry are blessed, for they will be well fed. Those who weep now are blessed, for they will laugh. Notice in Jeremiah that the tree planted by streams of water must still survive trials. The heat will still come, but its leaves will not wither. They will stay green. Times of drought will still come, but it will not cease to bear fruit. Its roots are deep enough to find strength and renewal. Our first choice is to remain rooted in Christ. However, this is not the end of our power to choose. It is our jumping off point. Once we have regained our footing and grounded ourselves during the storm, our second choice is to take the next right step. In a few minutes, we will be presented with our annual report from 2024. In the pages of the report are dozens of ways in which First Presbyterian has met the storms of life and ministry head on. You will see the evidence of the Holy Spirit that flows through us like streams of living water. Do you feel God calling you to be part of this next chapter? This congregation has deep roots and is no stranger to being tested. You all have borne fruit in your season, and your leaves do not wither. In all that you do, you prosper. How are you being called to graft yourself more deeply into the mission of this church? In a world of chaos and uncertainty, how will you offer shade and stability to those who weep, who are hungry and poor in spirit? I perceive that our new normal does not have to leave us in a cringeworthy state. God is doing a new thing. May we stand firm together in Him, now and forevermore. Amen.